I think one of the biggest things we have to overcome in sales is this whole taking it all too personally thing, especially when it comes to the phone. So today, we're going to be talking all about phone objections and not taking it so personally. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about a rather sensitive topic, and it has to do with us not taking this so personally, especially when we're hitting the phones. Now, I can't speak for whatever region you're calling into, but I can tell you that where I come from, and case like, you know, you guys can't tell by this accent that follows your Uncle Paul around like a shadow, I'm from New York. And I know, big shock, right? I mean, this is how you find out. I reveal it on my podcast. And people can be rather brutal out here. And it's funny because when I go around the U.S. and I speak with people all over the country, they tell me that, yeah, I mean, really, no matter where you are, people at times aren't the friendliest, right? It doesn't mean that every call is going to be bad. But here's where it gets kind of dangerous. Just like anything else with our thought process, when we allow certain things to consume our thoughts and we're taking it personally, like as if the world has this great big, like, screw you poster with your face on it. And it's really not the case at all. So what I want to show you today are a few ideas I probably jotted down here. I'm guessing, what, about 5 or 6 different thoughts that are going to help you through it. Now, before we like jump right into this, all I want to do is give you a simple reminder, and then later on in the podcast, I'll go into more detail. I just want to let you know, I mean, today is September 21st, 2016, when I'm recording this, and it'll actually be out later today, and we are right at the deadline now when we're going to be killing the registration for our webinar tomorrow, which is appropriately titled How to Warm Up Your Cold Calls. So if you'd like to learn more about it, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. And again, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to go into more detail on that program. But for now, let's just jump right in. This is a long time for me to be dicking around and not giving you anything here. Like, I feel like all those other podcasters dicking around and chit-chatting and getting cutesy, trying to out-cutesy each other. Not on my podcast. Almost, though, on my podcast today, I might say. But anyway, so the very first thing that I want you to think about is some preventative maintenance, some things that you can do prior to getting on the phones that, to me, will serve as your body armor. That's going to protect you from letting that negativity get in. So the very first thing that I always teach my coaching clients, and I teach people this kind of stuff in the webinars as well, is what you want to do is you want to feel as good as humanly possible, like without being like shit-faced or something, right? So what you want to do is like create a playlist of every damn song you can think of that when you hear it, you just feel like, you know, like you could walk out into traffic and come out unscathed, that you could tear bumpers off of cars. You know, like Red Bull gives you wings? Well, like the songs that give you wings, that get the foot tapping, makes you like, hell yeah, make you want to go over and headbutt somebody. But don't do it, because then you'll do it, you'll get in trouble, and you're going to blame me. And I got enough trouble, man. I don't need that. So that's one of the things you could do. I mean, and if you think that this is kind of, oh, I don't know, that I'm kind of overemphasizing the power of a good song, I just want to paint a picture for you. Come on into Uncle Paul's picture painting studio, which would be like full of like stick figures because I suck at you know, like painting and stuff like that. But anyway, let's pretend I could. I'm going to paint a picture for you. I want you to think about a scenario where maybe you're hanging out with some good friends, or perhaps if you're like me, you're in the car when this happens. All of a sudden, a song comes on the radio, and it's a song you love, and it takes you back maybe to that summer when you were 17 or 18 and you didn't have the weight of the world on your shoulders. And the biggest like problems we and challenges we had back then is, you know, whose house can we drink at where we're not going to get caught by someone's parents, right? Like that kind of song. Or perhaps it's a song that you and your significant other listened to a lot when you first met. In fact, I have all kinds of songs. And God help any of you who would ever try to – pardon me. I felt like I was getting emotional there, but I wasn't. I was fighting a cough. But I just wanted to put that out there because I didn't want you to think, oh, my God, man. He started talking about significant others. And he got all teary-eyed. Like, what the hell? Nah, man, I'm good. Just fighting a cough. And I will not edit that cough out because I don't have time for that shit. So that's just the way it is. But anyway, but God help any of you who ever, like, looked at my playlist thinking that you're going to figure me out, because I have all kinds of stuff on there ranging showcasing a diverse taste in music. But anyway, I mean, I have things from all different periods of time that get me really, really pumped up and motivated. I mean, I call the playlist Pump Up because I am a creative genius and I can't think of anything better to call it. And I mean, I have all kinds of songs on there, and I even have a song. I'm not going to say the song because then now it's going to be you guys are going to hate me and think less of me and everything else. But there actually is a song that I put in there on purpose because I thought about when I was the hungriest in my career. And owning a business and having three kids in college, I would argue that it would be now. But I really wanted to go back to where I felt that hunger was beginning. And I remember there was a period of time where my wife and I, before we had kids, wanted to have enough income coming in so that we could start our family. And I'll never forget, there was this one song that I used to always hear on the radio. It was like, you know, some of these songs, they like play the hell out of them. And this is one of those songs. And every time I hear that song, I remember having to go out and sell because I wanted this Castain family to begin. And it was a really big kick in my ass. And today, years later, when I realized, yes, we were able to start that family and we've done such a good job that now I have three of them. Count them, three of them in college that I have to finance. It just kicks me in my ass. So enough about me. What are the songs that get you going? So that's going to serve as body armor, because if you're listening to that before you hit the phones, it's kind of hard to feel shitty, no? I mean, think about it. Seriously, right? And it's hard to take things, you know, like when you're in an exceptionally good mood. Well, I mean, it's just kind of hard to like put you in a bad mood then. I mean, although sometimes people can, right? That's why we have families and in-laws and shit. But, I mean, it can happen. But it's going to serve as body armor. So the next thing, which is very, very similar, we won't spend as much time on it, is listen to comedy. It's very hard for you to be nervous going on the phone in any way, shape, or form, or have any level of anxiety after you just peed your pants. So think about the comedians, or comedians, if you will. I don't know why we have to have a gender thing in that. That's like got to be the stupidest thing. And we're talking about stuff that's funny. That's not funny to me. It's like we have to have a gender type of way of like a way of pronouncing it. If it's a man or a woman being the funny person, who cares? Just make me laugh. You know, entertain me, circus boy, girl, whatever. But anyway, enough of that mini rant. But like, get a comedy playlist. Put that on there. Laugh your ass off and just, you know, enjoy and lighten up. And it's just, again, it puts your body armor on before you ever go out into battle. And I think that might be part of the problem. We're going out into the battle without the body armor. So we got to feel really, really good. Hey, another thing to call it corny, but on a day, like, I think you should do this every day, but especially on a day when you know you're going to be hitting the phones. One of the things that I think you should do is start your day with gratitude. And what I do is every morning when I get up, I say thank you. Now, whoever you want to direct that thank you to is your business, whether you want to direct that toward some kind of a higher power, if you will, if you want to put that out to the universe, if it's more of a note to self, it's all good, right? It's all the same. But you want to start the day by saying thank you. Thank you for what? Well, how about like waking up alive? I mean, you know, waking up dead would be really bad, right? That's a bad day in my book. You woke up on the right side of the lawn, as they would say. And what you do then is just take 30 seconds or 20 seconds, whatever it takes you, and a quick gratitude inventory. So you start by saying thank you and making a note of the specific things you're thankful for. And it could be, you know, I'm really thankful that I have a day full of appointments. I'm really thankful that I have a calling block today of 2 hours where I can go out and create opportunities. I know what happens when I get on that phone. I'm going to get in front of opportunities that I don't have right now as I begin this day. I might say, you know, I want to thank you for, you know, this incredible, you know, woman in my life, Mrs. Uncle Paul, which, by the way, I'm just throwing that in there for fluff because she listens to my podcast and we're coming up on the Christmas season and I really want another guitar. And I'm thinking if I butter her up really good and make a oh man, he's so sweet, whatever, I have a higher probability of getting that. So forgive me, but I don't have nearly enough guitars. I think I'm up to 6 now, and I need a lot more. Considering I've been playing like 30 years, I mean, that's lame, and I'm embarrassed to admit that. So, and that's another reason too. I mean, seriously, why you guys got to buy more shit? Because like the more stuff you buy for me, well, you know, I can buy more guitars. So I hate to put pressure on you guys, but we're in this together. I'm trying to help you out here. You got to hook a brother up. I need another guitar. I mean, I'm saying it. You broke me down. I'm just saying it. I want another guitar. I need that guitar. But anyway, seriously. I will say things like that. You know, I'm thankful. I mean, and I really am, all joking aside. I mean, I married my high school sweetheart. I met her in, you know, as it implies, back in high school in 1983. We've been together ever since. We married 5 years after that, 1988. I mean, I am very grateful for that. Grateful for my children. Grateful for the relationships I have. I'm grateful for every day being able to get up and just work my absolute dream job, which is running a little company called Castain Training Systems. And you ready for this? Getting a paycheck for it. I mean, how cool is that? Doing something you absolutely love and someone handing you money for doing it. So I'm very grateful for that. But again, you know, it's not about what motivates me, what motivates you. The other thing that I would say, and I've talked a lot about this in the past, you should make a collage of photos of things that you want in your life. And you know, I think you're allowed to be selfish. A lot of us were taught, well, you know, you're supposed to say things like, well, you know, the reason why I do this is to help people and for the betterment of mankind and everything else. And that might be true, but allow me to be the asshole in the group and say, I enjoy having money in my pocket. For those of you who have ever walked the path that I've walked and traveled the journey I've traveled, not having money in your pocket sucks. Being in debt sucks. Not being able to pay a bill sucks. Having to say no to your kids sucks. Having to sit things out that your friends are doing because you don't have the money, it sucks. I mean, you know, it's no fun. So to me, whoever said money is the root of all evil was really putting an unfair representation. It certainly can be, but money can also be a wonderful thing, not just from a selfish perspective, but again, those of you who have walked the path that I have, I've had loved ones die of cancer. My wife, Mrs. Uncle Paul, it was 6 years ago, I guess it was, 5 years ago, was diagnosed with breast cancer. We were very fortunate, and that's one of the things on my gratitude inventory, by the way, that we were able to catch it at a stage zero and have it treated with just some minor surgery and radiation as opposed to chemotherapy and mastectomies, double mastectomies, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, giving to the Cancer Foundation is something that is very, very important. So guess what? on this little grouping of pictures that I have, this collage of pictures, I have the Cancer Society logo. I also believe in giving to St. Jude, so I have that on there. But, like, that's the stuff that I tell you so that you think I'm a decent human being. But I'm also one selfish son of a bitch, and that's what helps drive my business. I don't mean selfish in the sense that I'm looking to, you know, sell my soul or screw you over to make a buck. Hell no. But I mean that, you know, I also like having things in my life. So there's a picture of a cruise ship. And, you know, I enjoy taking my family on nice vacations. There's a picture of a dorm room. Why? Because I have one kid right now where I'm paying for his dorm. And those of you with kids in college, let alone going away to college, you know, it's like you become this constant ATM machine, you know, ATM machine for the kids. And it's brutal. I'm about to have a second one away at college. And that's going to be nice. That's going to be tagging on a lot of money that I got to shell out just in dorming. And you know, I mean, just the other day, my son sent me a text. It's one that I get quite often. Needed another $200 for groceries. I mean, I'm doing that, you know, at least once a month the way this kid eats. Like, you think he'd be my size the way he eats, but no, he's not. And Mrs. Uncle Paul is going to be turning 50 this year, so I have a picture of a party that she wants to have 70 people there. That is not going to be cheap, man. I got to be able to finance it. And this woman asks for nothing from me. So I want to do that. And, you know, I won't bore you with everything else, but I also have, and I think it's very important that each and every one of you do this, I have a check that I've written to myself. And I have it dated. And I've changed out this check a few times because most of the time I've hit the goal. One time I didn't when I first started my business. And the amount, it's written out to Castain Training Systems. It's from me. And it's for, I consider it a somewhat obscene amount of money representing the amount of monthly income I want to be pulling down here at Castain Training Systems. So what's the point of that whole little thing that I went through with you? The point is, it's to remind me that there are things at play beyond the phone call, that phone call is necessary to me to finance my dreams. Now, you might be thinking, well, you just made it very, very personal, and you're saying not to take it personally. What I did there was I worked with what I've been given. And I want everybody, if you're not driving, to write that down. Always work with what you've been given. Use the landscape that you've been given instead of sitting there with the why me shit and all this stuff. You use what you've been given to your advantage. Now, if I have something where somebody is going to hang up on me or say some really dopey thing to me on the phone, and it happens. You guys who are making phone calls, you know that that was not just something that, like, I just pulled out of thin air. It happens, and it happens every single day. So for me not to take that personally, I need to realize that, you know what? This is a necessary evil. It's something, if I want those things, this is part of what I need to be doing. And by the way, it's encouragement for me to get better at my craft, because if I'm hearing this kind of negativity a lot on the phone, there might be something in my tone. It might be something in what I'm saying and how I'm doing it, when I'm doing it. So again, I have to continue to be that humble student. Looking at those things up there reminds me, I left one really important picture out, and many of you have heard me talk about it many, many times. I actually have a picture of my family back in 2006, 10 years ago. Me and my family, our first day at Disney. And it was this particular trip. I think it was like a total of 15 days or whatever the heck. It was like a 3-day cruise and 12 days at Disney or whatever the heck it was. But that was my dream vacation for my family. And what you guys need to know is that I set that goal when I was like piss poor. And many of you know, I had lost everything I had back in 1995. I lost, you know, both my cars were repoed. I was $60,000 in debt. And I think most of all, I was emotionally bankrupt. I felt like a complete loser. And the year prior to that, I had made about $140,000. And this is back 1994, 1995. I had brought in incredible accounts like DuPont and Miracle-Gro and, you know, chains of stores out here on Long Island. I mean, I was kind of like the golden boy. And I just got comfortable and kept just being an order taker and servicing the existing accounts. And through a series of bad luck, I had DuPont pull up. They went back to Wilmington, Delaware, this division. We had another account that was another huge account for us go and just move back to Canada. I had three accounts screw me for about a total of $90,000. P.S., I was a broker, so, you know, they were like, hey, you know, that's fine, but screw you, pay me, because it's not our problem. That sounds like your problem. We want our money. And lost everything, and I set that goal to not only pay everybody back, but to get this dream vacation for my family. It took me about 9 years. No, I'm sorry, 9 years. I'm using the new math. It took me about 11 years to make all the financial things go away, working night jobs, getting my life back in order, rebuilding credit, all that kind of stuff, and walked through the gates in 2006. So when I look at that picture every day, it reminds me that I could do anything that I set my mind to. If I could pull a stunt like that off, I can handle some asshole on the phone that's having a bad day and wants to lash out at me. So that's one of the things that I do. The other thing that you can do, and I would put this under preventative maintenance, and this is really, really important. And if you've been listening to me for a while, you've heard me talk about it before, but in a very different context, more like a context of productivity. But the name of the technique that I want to tell you about very, very quickly is called the Pomodoro technique. And with the Pomodoro technique, you set a timer. They say set an egg timer, and I just don't understand why we're kind of going back in time to the 70s, right? Yeah, set an egg timer. You know, the one that's on top of that black and white television set with, you know, the rabbit ear antennas, right, in the family room of yesteryear. I don't understand that shit at all. But whatever. You know, on my phone, I have a timer, so I use that. I don't know why it has to be an egg timer. Like, how do we know? How do we know? But anyway, use whatever damn timer you want, but not an egg timer, because then we can't hang out, because that's just dickish. But anyway, you set it for 25 minutes. Now, again, I don't know how they came up with 25 minutes. My theory is they either had one of those magic eight balls and it said 25 minutes, or they threw a dart at a board or had a roulette table and they said, let's just tell them 25 minutes, right? Like, you ever hear that comedy routine that Brian Regan does about the serving size for cookies? Like how did they figure out that like two cookies is the serving size when the average person eats them by the sleeve? But anyway, enough of that. But so they say it's about 25 minutes. So what you do is you set the timer for 25 minutes. Now, from a productivity standpoint, the rule of thumb is you don't do anything other than the task at hand. Now, in this context, it's making outbound calls. So that means you don't take inbound calls during that 25 minutes. It means that all your pop-ups, you have to kind of, you know, just disconnect from them. And because if you're like me, it's like shiny object, shiny object, shiny object, and you're getting nothing done. You make like in that 25 minutes, you actually like did negative three calls, if you could imagine. Like, how the hell did I lose calls during that time? Well, because you were messing around with, you know, like every time Outlook, like a little thing pops up, says, let me check it now. The world's ending and I need the memo. Right? Or like, and especially like with your smartphone, like me, what I do is I put it into Do Not Disturb. And I have it set up with my family to recognize the numbers that would be like if they're calling me. Well, I got to stop what I'm doing. It's probably pretty damn important. So what's really cool about this, though, from a not taking it so personally perspective and that preventative maintenance mindset is that you're putting, you know, when every 25 minutes you're saying, okay, I'm going to step away from the phone and do another task. First of all, this is how you're wired as a salesperson. We are not wired to do the same thing all day. We have the worst case of ADD on the planet. Now you're controlling the ADD and you're working with the way you're wired. So what you're going to do is every 25 minutes, you're going to shift to another task. Maybe what you're going to do is check your voicemails very, very quickly. You're going to check emails very, very quickly. Maybe what you're going to do every, and this is up to you, every 25 minutes, you're going to take a quick 5-minute break, throw some cold water on your face, get some fresh air. If you're like me, feel the sun beating down on your bald head. and then you're going to go back at it. So what's beautiful about this particular technique, the Pomodoro technique, and this 25-minute thing, is that if you're having a rough time on the phone, you're saying to yourself, oh, man, I just got to go 22 more minutes or 24 more minutes or 18 more minutes or whatever it is. You know it's never going to be more than 25 minutes. Also keeps you from sounding very scripted and robotical. And the other thing, too, if it's starting to get on your nerves a little bit, you know that you're going to have a break from it. It's not like I've got 8 hours of this today. So that's something for you to consider on the preventative maintenance side of the equation. But now the other thing. It plays into something that I talked about right on this podcast just, I guess it was about 3 or 4 days ago. You need to understand the basis of a no, and especially – and I'm saying no synonymously with objection. Understand that no and or an objection is basically a conditioned response to anyone that your potential client believes is trying to sell them something. Let me say that again. Understand that no and or objections, I'm using them synonymously, is a conditioned response to anyone your potential client believes is trying to sell them something. Do you guys buy that? And please don't like answer out loud, especially if you're in an office and they see you talking to yourself. Man, that's just like it got kind of weird right there when you did that. So you made it weird. I don't know that we can continue. But anyway, so if you understand that it's the act of calling them, interrupting what they're doing, and they're going into their default, their auto eject, just to get you off the phone, well, then it's really easy for you not to take that personally anymore. It's really not about you. It's about the fact that it doesn't matter. They just want to get anyone off of that damn phone, including someone who was calling them up and saying, hey, and I used this bad joke the other day. I made too much money last year. My accountant said I have to give away $2 million. Who do I get it to? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not interested, right? And you'd like to say that, well, I'm okay, but did you even hear what I said? No. I just got to get you off my phone. And that's in essence what happens. So when you understand that and then you focus your efforts in getting past the first no, it's really not personal anymore. It's more like a reflex action, right? We all have reflexes. It's like if I come over to you and I get into your personal space, especially with some like some really bad breath, right? Like I got like a rotten tooth or something like that. There's a nice visual for you, right? And I've got like the stinky breath going on. You're going to retract. That is just a reflex. But you know what, too? I think I gave you a really bad example because that is personal. Yes, Paul, you have ass breath, and that's why I'm doing it. But I guess really the point that I was trying to make there before I gave like a really bad example is that, you know, there's the reflex. Anytime, and let's just remove the bad breath from it. Anytime, if you're that kind of person that doesn't like somebody in your personal space, when somebody gets into your personal space, automatically you retract and you pull back or whatever, right? It's the same thing with the phone. It's no different. And by the way, I bet you many of you guys do the same thing when people call you at home or whatever it is. So if we focus on moving past that first objection or that past no, if you will, instead of the objection itself, well, then it's very hard for you to take that personally. The other thing, too, and I mentioned this recently on my blog over at yoursalesplaybook.com. There was somebody that I had worked with, and I forgot the exact context where he used this. And I think it was just more in like when you get nervous picking up a phone and worried about annoying somebody and all that kind of stuff. The guy said something very, very interesting to me. He says, you know, Paul, what I always say to my sales reps when I hire them is that if you were a doctor and you came across somebody who is bleeding and you had a tourniquet and you knew how to treat them, would you worry about hurting their feelings or getting too much in their face or being a pain in their ass? And the answer, of course, is no. You would treat them or whatever it is. Well, you know, that might be a really dramatic visual right there, but many times we have solutions that could save the life of a business. that could stop the bleeding, that could put him on a better path. And I don't think that's a license to be an asshole. But I'm certainly not going to be shy about it. And I will tell you that considering that I'm more of an introvert, the bulk of my career, I have probably been, I hate to use the word aggressive when it comes to sales, but in sales, that's the last place where I'm shy, because I understand that if I'm going around with any of this golly, ma'am, gee whiz, looking down at the ground, kind of kicking my shoe, trying to ask out the hot chick, some idiot's going to come along, ask her out in the time that I'm just trying to muster up the courage to say hello. But the bulk of my career, I've been more on the ballsy side. But I will tell you, a few years ago, I got even more ballsy. I thought about how often I was emailing people. And I thought about how often I was putting out blog posts, how often I was even calling people and everything else. And I said, look, here's the bottom line. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, and I'm not trying to bomb people into like submission with contacting them. But I realize now that we're living in an age where the attention span is pretty much in the toilet. You guys hear me say it all the time. It's at 8 seconds right now. And I can tell you firsthand that I've had things that I was very interested in that maybe I received an offer through email or somebody left me a voicemail and I'm like, wow, I should really check into that. I'll give you a great example. Somebody had reached out to me with some really cool podcasting services that they offer. I loved it. And I was like, wow, this is great. And I promptly forgot about it. I was very, very interested and I forgot about it. Now, had they been on their game with the follow-up, they'd already have their first order. I can pretty much promise you that because I really liked what they had to offer. They even listed like a price range and stuff. And I was like, wow, it's very affordable. I can, you know, I could do this without selling off a kidney and getting all my deposit bottles cashed in. And I forgot about them. And I was interested and I forgot about them. So I think sometimes you just got to, especially if you represent something that can help people. Like what I do for a living, I help you guys sell more. So I'm not going to sit here and worry about hurting your feelings. I'm not going to worry about offending you. Again, I'm not going to use that as a license to be a dick. I am not going to worry about annoying you because I'm going to lose some of you anyway. And I tried it the other way where I was more laid back when I first started Castain Training Systems. I mean, think about it. Those of you who've been following me a while, you know exactly that what I'm talking about when I say I've gotten more aggressive with the amount of blog posts and emails and everything else. Some of you have moved on, right? And I'm saying it as if you're still listening after you moved on, like you can hear me somehow. Some people have moved on and other people haven't. But I will tell you that I am making a shit ton more money now that I found my balls. I'm just telling you, I have. Again, I want to be very clear. That is not my license to be a jerk with you guys. That is not a license to go completely insane with the amount of phone calls and emails and LinkedIn stuff and everything else. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a wake-up call for me. I'm not going to sit here and be shy ever again. And especially when in that period of time, I see some people going off with my competitors because they yelled louder. So I no longer let that get in the way of things. And I can tell you that nobody showed up at my house and broken my jaw yet for doing that. And, you know, it just is what it is. And I would invite you to do the same. The last idea that I have for you is I remember reading something. It had to be 20 or 25 years ago. It must have been in a publication like Selling Power Magazine or something like that, where they were talking about call reluctance and, you know, people who get a little nervous making the phone call and maybe put it off and avoid it and that kind of thing. One of the things that you can do is see the act of a call as a money generating task as opposed to something that you're taking personally. Now, what I mean by that, and what the suggestion that I learned was, I heard all different things, but the one that I don't even know if this is the exact thing they suggested. I could tell you what I did back then because this was like a long time ago and I really wasn't loving the phone at all. What I did was I took a glass jar and it needed to be glass so I could see what I was putting in it. So every time I made a phone call, I threw a penny in it. I had a bunch of pennies. And I would throw a penny in it so that I would start focusing on the fact that this was a money-generating activity. So every time I would do that, I would throw a penny in it. Every time I would set up an actual appointment, I would throw a $1 bill in there. And I always had lots of dollar bills in it because I went to a lot of strip joints back then. So I always had lots of dollar bills. So I would, you know, I'm kidding with you guys. Like you guys say, man, he was just so casual about that. Meanwhile, my wife says, that's what you did back in the 90s. You weren't paying back those creditors. You were going all the damn, I almost said a very bad word. You were going to, you know what, those strip clubs. You guys know the word I almost said. You know what, bars, you know what I'm talking about? Begins with a T. Anyway, I almost said that, and I just didn't want to. I mean, we just kind of got into the S curse recently, and I just don't want to say that, the T word. Anyway, so what I did, though, seriously, is every time I made an appointment, I put a dollar in there. And, you know, I didn't suck on the phone. I wasn't the best on the phone back then. But I'd watch by the end of the day or even halfway through the day that jar. And I purposely didn't get a huge jar, just so you know. I got a jar that was like, you know, like a baby food jar. No, I didn't do that. But I just, you know what I'm saying? I didn't get a huge jar so that it was like counterproductive. And I had this jar. And by the end of the day or halfway through the day, you'd see all these pennies in there. You'd see dollar bills in there. And it reminded me that, yeah, you're making money, buddy. I mean, that's what you're doing. And when I'm focusing, redirecting my energy on not taking it personally and on the money and doing some of those other things we talked about, looking at pictures like the picture of my family at Disney and that dorm room and the trips and stuff that I want to take. When I'm doing that and maybe even on my breaks, listening to some more comedy, not just starting my day that way, listening to the playlist. And also, I'm doing that whole thing with the Pomodoro technique, where it's like only 25 minutes, man, it makes a huge difference. So there you have it, folks. Those are some of the ways that you can not take it so personally. And if that didn't appeal to you, I guess I would say one more thing. And this is, I'm sorry, it's tough love. I would just say snap the hell out of it. It's not going to serve you being a wimp like that and getting all butthurt because somebody is an asshole. And by the way, when they are a first-rate asshole and like they are just completely rude and you want to take that personally or whatever it is, I would say, yes, that is a personal thing. But I would also say that you've been given a wonderful gift because most of the time we find out about these things after we're investing time and resources and effort into them, and now they're a client, and now they're just making our lives miserable. So as much as the people you're trying to do business with have the right to judge you and your company and see if you're someone that they want to do business with, I maintain that you have the right to do the same thing. And if someone's shown their true colors really at the courtship phase, then that is a great indication not to have the marriage. And again, I think you've been given a tremendous gift. So that's really how you might want to look at it. Now, before you go, again, today is September 21st, and we are right at the deadline for the webinar that we're going to be doing tomorrow on September 22nd, and it's called How to Warm Up Your Cold Calls. Now, there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing. Oh, by the way, very, very quickly, whether you're listening to this now and this webinar hasn't happened yet, or, you know, it's after the fact, like it's a month later, 2 months, a year later, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Understand that not only are we going to be delivering this training live, we're also going to be recording it. So if you can't make it on September 22nd, or it's after the fact and it's like, geez, I wish you would have told me, Castane. It's like 3 years later and I'm listening to this. Damn it. Bad timing on my part. You can go to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone, sign up anyway, and you will get the recording. How cool is it? Modern technology. But anyway, let me tell you what we're going to be talking about. There are 30 things that you want to look for in order to find potential clients, you ready for this, who have a higher probability of needing what you sell now. The biggest problem with a lot of us is that we know we're supposed to research, but we don't know what we should be looking for in that research and what makes a, like, in the qualification process, who is someone that's more probable, that it's like a higher probability suspect or prospect a little bit later on down the line. How do we find them? And how do we do this in a way that we don't become a, like, a research analyst full time? So we're going to talk about that. And I'm also going to show you a really cool cheat that I do that will have the information coming to you instead of you always. They're kind of like a set it and forget it, if you will. But right away, you're probably thinking, oh yeah, we all know about Google Alerts, Castain. I'm not going to pay you the bucks to learn that. Google Alerts is one of them, but I have probably four or five other things that you can do that you can automate that the average person who goes through my training says, I didn't know that. Who would have thunk it? Also, we're going to talk about how to craft an objection-resistant dialogue. One of the best ways for you to beat an objection is to head it off at the pass, to say something that is more objection-resistant, right? And also, I'm going to show you how to do it in a way that's more of a dialogue and a visit as opposed to a sales pitch and a script. And I hate sales scripts, by the way, in case I haven't emphasized that enough. We're going to talk about how to actually handle objections, the typical objections like not interested and under contract and already have a vendor, no time, even stalls like send me your information. Or how about everybody's favorite this time of year coming up on the holidays where people like call me back after the holidays, call me back after New Year's. We're going to talk about how you can handle that. We're going to talk – oh, and by the way, and I'm going to send you some templates too as far as how to craft that better dialogue. We're going to send you some there. I'm going to show you how to leave much better voicemails because that is a reality of life, right? And I have four templates for you that I'm going to send you, and it's based on what I'm using for my practice when I am hunting for business, because I am pretty much every day hitting the phones in addition to all this other stuff that I'm doing right now. I want to show you some stuff from my playbook, but also too, it's very likely that the average person you're calling is going to have some skepticism, whether it be about salespeople in general or making a change or considering other options, whatever it is. I'm going to show you how to head that off right at the pass. And also, too, last but not least, and there's other things that we're going to do. I kind of skipped around here because I wanted to change it up a little bit, right? I wanted to seem like I was spontaneous. But anyway, the other thing that we're going to do is I'm going to show you how to ask for access to a higher level decision maker without completely demeaning your contact. Because, again, we all know we're supposed to ask for that highest level, but there's not a whole hell of a lot of talk about how do you do it in a tactful way. How do you do it without really completely insulting, like, the hell out of the person at the other end of that phone? And by the way, I know firsthand from having been on the receiving end of that over the years where I'm like, wow, you know, thanks a lot, man. You just basically like made me out as like the guy who parks the cars every day. I'm only a vice president here. I mean, you know, but I didn't expect you to know that, right? So I don't want that to happen to you. But anyway, if you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to sign up, what I want you to do, and you need to do it soon, is visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. One more time for the people in the cheap seats, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.